The first reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, and it can be found on page 1042 of the Pew Bibles. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 men do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue in our series, thinking about evangelism. You'll know that on a Wednesday evening, we've got further time to discuss this together, and we're looking at what it means to share the good news. The gospel, the faith that we believe, is good news, and we long to share it with others that we love. But we need help. We need encouragement. We need to help each other. So today we're thinking about kind of our relationships. Let me pray as we come to this. Father God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for your wonderful good news that we have in Jesus. And we pray that you would, through this course, through talking together and hearing you, equip us, encourage us, challenge us to be sharing your good news with those we know and love. Amen. Evangelism, the word, is often misunderstood, something that can sound like some sort of technique. I've got some evangelism and I go to my friend slash victim and I think, this might hurt. Here it comes. Watch out. And I guess it's particularly alien if we already think that maybe we shouldn't be too good friends with non-Christians. We maybe ought to keep a distance. So today, really, our key thought is this: building authentic relationships with unbelievers is key to our evangelism. So the challenge is, how do we get authentically involved with those who don't believe in Jesus and not compromise? So one example is, how do we come alongside our friend in the pub but avoid getting drunk with them? It is right, after all, to avoid certain behaviours and sometimes some situations which will lead us into danger and into temptation. But Jesus says that pleasing God is not just through obedient activity, but through loving relationships. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. And in Luke 10, that reading we just had, the context of Jesus saying this is that an expert is asking him questions, asking him to put Jesus to the test. And he says, "Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, there's a big problem even in that question, isn't there? Because it's not about doing to inherit, but it's a gift to receive. So Jesus doesn't give a straight answer. Instead, he raises a question. What is written in the law? How do you read it? Well, the teacher of the law says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Jesus said, do this and you will live. Well, this is an expert in the law, an intellectual, if you like. He doesn't want to put knowledge into practice. He wants a discussion, a debate. So he asks, okay, who is my neighbor? Maybe he's trying to make Jesus sound very simplistic. Well, Jesus comes back, okay, you don't understand who your neighbor is. Let me tell you a story. And it's a well-known story, isn't it? There's a man who's on a walk between Jerusalem and Jericho, and there are robbers who are waiting on that path. It was, known to be a slightly dangerous path to take. He gets beaten up and left for dead. A priest walks by. He sees him, but he walks by on the other side. He knows that if he gets involved, he'll become unclean. He's too busy. He doesn't want to get involved. A Levite, similarly a worker in the temple, comes past, sees the man, but does nothing and walks by on the other side. And then finally, a Samaritan, someone from Samaria, comes past, sees the man, binds his wounds, washes him, puts him on his donkey, takes him to an inn, and pays with his own money for his care. A wonderful picture of loving your neighbour. And there's a shock to the reader that it's a Samaritan who is the hero. Samaria is the place next to Israel. They had been part of Israel, but early on in their sort of history, they'd come out and often attacked Israel. Israel saw them as their worst enemies. They're beyond the worst. And so the idea that a Samaritan could be a hero, could be good, was quite a shock. So the teacher of the law, in his defense, he's dismissive. When Jesus says, well, who's the neighbor in this? He says, I guess it was the man who showed pity. He doesn't even want to say what he is. Jesus says, go and do likewise. And that's the challenge of the story, isn't it? Will we be a good neighbor? But who is our neighbor? The kingdom of God is all about loving relationships. And the story of the Good Samaritan can give us some good principles for our evangelism. And it'll help if you can see one of these handouts, as we've done week by week, to see where we're going. The first principle is the kingdom of God is relational. Jesus sums up life in terms of love relationships, doesn't he? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The religious people in the story are not wanting to get contaminated. Maybe they've got good things to get on with and do. But people understand love when they see it acted out. It's wrong, isn't it, to walk by on the other side? And when God wanted to reach the world, he didn't post magazines or put up banners. God sent a person. He sent his son to reach the world in love. And you know what? God continues to send us to the world. Before any kind of clever technique and answers and sorts of ways of doing things, he sends us. And God is relational. He's triune. He's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's a relationship, even at his very core. Creation, it becomes an outpouring of his love. And the gospel mission is to draw people into this loving family of God. The kingdom of God is relational, but how do we relate to the world the way Jesus did? Well, he both radically identified with people and he was radically different. He radically identified with people. Jesus had a real go to them kind of attitude, didn't he? Not a come to us approach. He went where the people were, where the need was. He didn't wait in a prepared place for people to come into him. He was willing to go out. And the ultimate example of that, obviously, is God becoming man in Jesus amongst us. Jesus understood our human experience from the inside out. And that's a model for us. We must seek to understand our friends, their doubts and their hopes, their questions, their triumphs, their pain. Jesus experienced human life from the inside out. He learned the language. He understood the hopes and pains of people he met. And we must do the same. Taking time to understand our friends, their doubts and problems. Think of a missionary when they're thinking about going to a particular place. We usually think about missionaries going to a foreign land. They'll have training. They'll think about the culture, the language, the priorities and passions of the people that they're going to meet. And we also seek to understand our friends. Jesus demonstrated that everybody is somebody to God. There's the example of blind Bartimaeus. Do you remember him? The beggar on the side. Jesus and his disciples are walking along on a journey. And blind Bartimaeus cries out. He says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy." Disciples say, "Be quiet. Shush. Get out of the way." But he goes on, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy." Jesus says, "Bring him." So disciples go, "Oh, okay. So let's get him. Take heart. He wants to see you." And Jesus heals him. Well, what is Jesus saying to the disciples? What is Jesus showing to the disciples? He's saying, look, what looks like an insignificant, dirty beggar interrupting my schedule, in 2 weeks, I will die for him. Everybody is significant to Jesus. So if you think about those people you know, those people in your life, at work, at home, hobbies, wherever it is, are they significant to us? And so are we involved in authentic friendships where we share our lives with unbelieving friends? Are we in a holy huddle, or are we out there loving our neighbour? Jesus radically identified with people, but he was also radically different. He was alongside the sinner, the tax collector, the prostitute, but he wasn't one of those things. He was radically different, and we should be too. We should display God's love with our action. Authenticity, integrity, compassion. We want to look like the Christ that we speak of and that we follow. And this can be as individuals or together as the church community, welcoming strangers in our midst. We're to depend on God's power through prayer. And it's wonderful, and we can share the answers that we get to our prayers, share them with each other for great encouragement. And we're to declare God's truth, presenting people with the real Jesus of the Bible, and we will find that he is irresistible. We want to be relevant when communicating the gospel, but to always be relevant, we need to speak eternal truths. Jesus is always the way, the truth, and the life. God's truth transcends whatever culture we find ourselves in right now. And so we need to rediscover and present the irresistible Jesus. For example, do you have a friend who describes himself as spiritual, but not religious, not wanting to get involved in this church stuff? Maybe come to the story where Jesus gets upset about the religious hypocrisy. He trashes the room, do you remember, around the temple. Maybe he'll have an appeal with your non-Christian friend. You can say, "Oh, I don't know about you, but I was surprised when I found out what Jesus was really like." A simple way is just to invite a friend to read about Jesus with you. And we're going to come to that again in a few more weeks. Jesus is radically different and yet radically relevant. He's not just relevant. If we were just relevant, we'd become the same as those around us, slipping into sins and not pointing to Jesus. If we're just different, well, maybe we're just those that people think, "Oh my goodness, they must wear sandals, they just read the Bible, and they're a bit disconnected from real life." But Jesus didn't turn away from those with all sorts of problems and addictions today. The kingdom of God is relational. Jesus radically identified with people, and he was radically different. As we think more about that, we're going to have our second reading.
This reading is taken from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, and you can find it on page 1218 of the Pew Bibles. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God. It's all about relationships. We mentioned earlier the danger of seeing evangelism as sort of this technique that we bring and beat someone maybe over the head with it. It comes out of relationships. And that's that passage we've had a few times, isn't it? It speaks out of that. If we are being and doing in front of people, then we earn the right to be saying. So you're a person made in the image of God, and so is your friend, so you're relational, and they're not a project. We enjoy and celebrate people and their passions. We're that kind of interested person who kind of go, well, what are you up to? How are you? What do you want? Their hopes and their fears. And we do Christianity. Matthew 5, Jesus says, let your light shine before others. And in our 1 Peter reading, it talks about people seeing your good deeds and glorifying God. How we live points people to the God we live for. Being and doing before saying. But we need to be saying, and that's what we come to here. We need to be, chatting our faith, gossiping the gospel, making it an everyday, natural part of conversation. It's not always in the mode of, now I'm about to share the gospel with you, so here it comes. But it's part of conversation. What do we do at the weekend? Well, I met up with some friends in church, and we worshipped and we prayed. How are you dealing with an issue at home or work or school? Well, I'm praying about it. I'm sharing with a couple of Christian friends. I'm seeking some good wisdom from God in the Bible. Why are we really busy at the moment? Well, I've got these opportunities with my church family to be loving and serving them. And so these things are going on. And even if the conversation moves on when you mention it, you've shown that your faith is relevant to your life. It's important to you. And they have the freedom to ask you about it. Let gossiping the gospel be the background noise for our relationships. And then occasionally be ready to ask a question that maybe moves them on, makes them think, that provokes something more about faith things. For example, do you have a friend that loves gardening? Well, what do they think is behind the beauty of the natural world? Do you have someone who's going through some really tough times at the moment? Can they be happy despite that? Where is their hope? Do you have someone who's just angry with God and you're slightly worried about mentioning it? Well, just asking, well, why are you angry with God? And then maybe that moment comes. That moment comes when they're ready to take you on, to ask you that question about your faith. Maybe it's a challenge on Christianity and culture. Maybe that's that quiet, unexpected comment. Maybe it's a question about an issue. What do I say? You might find you always have the perfect answer 2 hours later when you're back at home. Rico Tice, you know that book I've mentioned a few times, An Honest Evangelism, he says the key is to proclaim Christ and to have 3 points in mind: identity, mission, and call. And they're strongly represented in the Christianity Explored course if you ever want a refresher. Think about the identity of Jesus, the mission of Jesus, and the call of Jesus. And then do this looking for understanding, agreement, and impact. Do they get it? Do they agree with it? What are they doing about it? So 3 responses from 3 themes. Identity, who Jesus is. He's no ordinary guy. He makes extraordinary claims. He does extraordinary miracles. Was he mad? Was he bad? Or is he who he claims to be, the Son of God? And in Mark's gospel particularly, the question leaps out, who do you say I am? Who is Jesus? The mission of Jesus, why did Jesus come? Again and again he says, I came, I must suffer, and I must die. Why? Well, as an answer to our guilt, he brings forgiveness and acceptance at the cross. As an answer to the problem of death, he brings hope and assurance in his resurrection. The identity of Jesus, who was he? His mission, why did he come? Can we speak of something to do with that? And his call, what it means for us? Come and die. Pick up your cross and follow me, Jesus says. That's about living for Jesus and not for ourselves. And come and live. Following Jesus is knowing life and life to the full, now and forever. And finally, as we think about doing this, evangelize as you. We don't all do this the same way. We don't have to copy someone else's method. Be yourself. You might be sat there. I know some of you are sat there saying, I can do that. I can't do this. I'm not like that. So I'll leave it to someone else. But God knows us. God created my inmost being, knit us together in our mother's wombs. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We're wonderful works of God's. And he puts us exactly where he wants us. So use what God has given you. Think of the different styles we even see in the Bible. Peter, confronting, always jumping in with both feet. He says in Acts, "You crucified him!" It's quite dramatic, isn't it? Paul, the intellectual. "Look at these statues of gods. Let me show you that God that you don't know about." Engaging the brain and thinking about things. Think about the blind man in John 9. What is his testimony? People are saying, "Well, who did this? How can you say this happened?" He says, "Well, I don't know all of the details, but I do know this. I was blind, but now I can see." We've all got a testimony, haven't we, of what God has done in our lives. Well, think of the woman at the well that we thought about a few weeks ago. She's a great inviter. She just ran around saying, "Come and see this man. Come and see him. It's brilliant." Which one of those are you? And let's go together. Let's involve our friends in praying for us. Sometimes even going together, making plans to do something together with a group. Love God. Love your neighbour. Get involved. Speak of Jesus, his identity, mission and call. Look for people's understanding, agreement, impact. And pray that God will indeed do big things through you, through us. We've got a time to discuss. You'll have your questions on your sheets, or they're up there on the screen. I'll give you a couple of minutes just where you are, turn in twos and threes. If you're new here, this is what we do regularly. Turn in twos and threes and discuss these questions, what we've just been thinking about.